during the years that I've been in seminary, time and time again, people have asked me to share my vocation story with them. I've shared my vocation story in classrooms, with prayer groups, to kindergartners, middle schoolers, high schoolers, family, friends, total strangers. I share it because people are curious to hear, not about me, because I'm not an extraordinarily interesting person, but because people want to hear about how God is working in my life. People want to hear about how God has led me to the vocation that he has called me to. And some vocation stories are very sensational and have these fantastic moments of conversion or grace, just very powerful moments where God works in an individual's life. But that's not my vocation story. Mine is much more a story of how God has quietly worked in the depths of my heart throughout the course of my life. So my story might not be flashy or fantastical, but it is still important nonetheless, because it began with, is still centered on, and will forever be centered on, a little wafer that appears to be bread, but is so, so much more. My vocation story, where it began and where it is rooted, is on the Most Holy Eucharist. Spending time with the Lord in adoration, going to daily Mass, and receiving the Eucharist. That's where I first heard the Lord's voice and where I continue to hear his voice, how he continues to speak to me, where he feeds me, where he nourishes my prayer life. My first memory of being in Eucharistic adoration came when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. My aunt, Julie Simpson, who many of you might know as the kindergarten teacher here at Christ the King. I remember her taking me and my brother and a few of my cousins to adoration at C's, and I don't really remember much about that day, but I do remember those 15 minutes we spent in the adoration chapel, praying together, singing a few hymns, and just being with the Lord. I also have very vivid memories of going to adoration at Holy Spirit during the summer with my mom to her weekly holy hour. She would take me and my brother on Wednesday afternoons to go spend an hour with the Lord. Some weeks I really looked forward to this holy hour, some weeks not so much. But while we were there, we would pray a rosary together. I would read the Bible, read the lives of the saints, and even just sit in silence before the Lord. And it was really there, on those Wednesday afternoons, where the foundation for my prayer life was built. Because I experienced the Lord's love. I experienced a little bit of what Jesus is describing in today's gospel, how he is the bread of life. Going to adoration was kind of like God's manna in my life that fed me daily. When I got to Bishop Carroll, adoration and spending time in the chapel became even more important for me. Out at Holy Spirit, when I was in eighth grade, I was one of 7 people in my class. And so going from little Holy Spirit to very large Bishop Carroll was quite the change. Going from a school of maybe 50 or 60 students to a school of over 1,000 was quite the transition. And so my freshman year, as I'm trying to get accustomed to the pace of life, to the hustle and bustle, as I was trying to make new friends, my daily visits to the chapel were very important. When I would feel overwhelmed, when I'd feel stressed out, or even if I was really excited and had something exciting to share with the Lord, I'd go to that chapel in the morning. Because I always knew that I could step through the threshold of that door and enter the silence of that chapel and just be with the Lord. Again, to receive that daily bread from him. He was my source of joy, my comfort, my peace. He was that rock that I could hold on to when things got rough. And so the Eucharist, the Most Holy Eucharist, Jesus' presence, has been such an instrumental part of my life. It's what led me to where I am today. And so I always continually try to call back those memories and think, why is this so? Why do I experience such peace when I'm in the presence of the Lord, when I go to Mass and when I receive Him? And the answer lies in today's gospel and in the weeks to come, the gospels that we will hear in the Bread of Life discourse. I am the bread of life. Last week, we heard about how Jesus fed the 5,000, how these people who were following Jesus and hearing him preach and teach were hungry. They needed their physical needs met. And so Jesus, in his wisdom and a bit of cleverness, he drew them close to him. He fed them. He took care of their physical comforts with physical bread through the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. And as they are close to him, drawing near to him, curious about who this man is, he changes tact. He changes from focusing on their physical needs to their spiritual needs. He tries to get down to the root of their real hunger. I am the bread of life. He is the food that will endure. So many times there's the temptation to try to find happiness and comfort in things of this world that perish. And we know in the back of our mind that God is the source of our ultimate happiness. And yet we turn to things that are only passing. We turn to comforts, to food, to other things that are going to pass. But today the Lord reminds us that he is our true source of happiness, of life, and love. When he tells us that he is the bread of life, he is not telling us that we will never again need physical food to eat. That's not how he made us. He made us as humans. We have bodies. We need to be nourished. But what he is telling us is that we should never look to things of this earth as our ultimate source of happiness. That's when we get in trouble in our spiritual life, is when we try to look to things of this earth as our ultimate source of happiness. That's the role that only God can fill in our life. And that's the role he fills by coming to us physically in the appearance of bread, but he is truly with us in his body and blood. That is how he feeds us and nourishes us spiritually. It is our food for the journey. Something very special happens here each and every Sunday. Each and every time the holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered at this altar, Jesus Christ becomes present to us. It's an extraordinary thing. Sometimes we hear these words, I am the bread of life, and we've heard it so many times that it just kind of passes by. It's like, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. It's not really able to sink in. But our familiarity with this phrase does not diminish the truth that it contains. I am the bread of life. And each and every Sunday, our Lord is present to us. We have skin-to-skin contact with him because he cares for us, wants to be with us, and wants to lead us to eternal life with him. That's why we come here every Sunday. If our Lord was not present here, then what makes this time different than being at home and reading the Bible or praying the rosary with our family? If Jesus Christ was not present at this altar, then it would be just as beneficial or even more beneficial for us to listen to a recorded homily of someone who's more well-educated and entertaining to listen to than Deacon Seth, who we have to listen to for 10 or 15 minutes every Sunday. But no, our Lord shows up and is present because he desires to be with us, to feed us, and to nourish us. The Catholic author Flannery O'Connor was once in a conversation with a friend, and our friend said, yeah, the Eucharist, it's a nice symbol that reminds us about God. And in a very shaky voice, Flannery O'Connor responded, if it's a symbol, then to hell with it. If what we do here is not what we believe, then what's the point? But we know and believe through what Christ has taught us, through our faith, through revelation, that Jesus Christ truly does become present to us each and every Sunday in the flesh. Ultimately, all good Catholics, we allow our beliefs to permeate what we do, to permeate our entire life. And this is definitely true for one of my favorite authors, J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge Tolkien nerd. I love to read his things because he does such a good job of capturing the beauty and the journey that is in life, particularly in the very mundane things. He is able to show us that there are always opportunities for heroic virtue, even in day-to-day life, that things are more beautiful than we really give them credit for being. The whole purpose of the hobbits, the characters that he wrote about, is to show that they live in a very ordinary and mundane world. Everything is very ordered, prim, and proper. And yet they are called out of their tiny little microcosm to go out into a world they didn't even know existed, and to fight battles and to wage wars, which will ultimately affect their entire world, and to live out this heroic virtue. And that's like us in our daily lives and our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives surround us, and we're not always aware of it, and yet we always have these opportunities to exercise heroic virtue, to be heroes, to be characters in this great adventure. And in many of his characters and many of the events in Tolkien's writings, he includes Catholic themes and symbols and analogies. And one of these things is the elven bread called Lombus bread. It's bread for journeys. It's kind of like hardtack or cram, something that gives energy and nourishment to people on a journey. This Lombus bread is described as being thin and crisp like a wafer, golden brown in color, and is sweet to the taste. And also, the person who eats it, the more they rely only on the Lombus bread as their only source of nourishment, that's when it is most potent, when it is most beneficial for the journeyer. It's said that a single mouthful of this food can keep a grown man going for the entire day. Doesn't this sound like the Eucharist? It is food for the journey. Such a small little wafer that carries such great importance to our spiritual lives. Lombus bread, another important characteristic of it is that evil creatures of Tolkien's world are repulsed by it. It keeps away evil. And if an evil creature were to eat it, they would die. And that is just like the spiritual bread from heaven that the Lord gives us in the Eucharist. It keeps us close to the Lord and helps keep evil at bay in our lives. The Lord desires us to search for this food that endures above all things. And each and every Sunday, we get to come and receive it. And so we should always strive to find in the Lord the source of comfort and peace and life that he is, to come to the altar, to lay ourselves down humbly, and to receive him, to receive his life and love. Because Jesus says to us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst."
I believe.